if we can get you to fill that out and drop it in the collection plate, that'll give us a record of your attendance with us. We appreciate you being here with us. I was thinking about the lesson tonight, and I know that all minds are set on the event that is going to take place after service tonight. So I kind of feel like a waiter at a real nice restaurant, and the folk that's sitting at my table look hungry. They've gone through all the crackers and drunk up two glasses of water. I know they're waiting for some food. But management has told me that I need to make sure that I go over the menu and also cover all the specials. And so I'm here tonight because my management, the Lord himself, has said, you know, go over the menu and point out some specials, and then we can have dessert later on, okay? We as a family, if we can put this, the next slide, please. I'm going to have to communicate with our team up there. So we are going through this effort, the package that many of us have purchased or have, and we're following it as we try to equip ourselves to be more evangelistic and have the tools in place to accomplish that. So far in the package, we've looked at from the ministers, in particular in the evening on Sundays, we've talked about apostasy, we've talked about attendance, the authority of the Bible. Last time I spoke, it was on baptism. We've talked about being saved since I've been away for a couple of weeks. And tonight I want to talk a little bit about some of the aspects of the church. If it's been covered, forgive me. I'll put a card out later on. But I just want to talk from the standpoint of the beauty of the church that you and I are part of. When I became a Christian about 100 years ago, the church, especially in the body of Christ, was talked about more than I was ever familiar with hearing about. It might not be a good sentence, but it got my point across. We talked a lot about the significance of the church. And it was something that many of us just kind of took for granted, that the church will always have the same honor, the same respect, the same integral part of our lives. But we're living in a time now that we hear over and over, Jesus yes, church no. And I understand that there has been much abuse with religious leaders. There have been all kind of monetary motivations for churches throughout our land and country as well as the world. And so I gather that sometimes the church concept might leave a bad taste in our mouths. But you know, sometimes water doesn't taste so well, but we still drink some more because we see the importance of it. There's a conversation when we talk about this idea of elevating our walk and elevating our talk with the idea of making the grade. Our third or fourth quarter focus this quarter is with this idea of elevating our walk. We talked this morning in Bible class in Acts chapter 9 about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Verses 1 through 31, we talked with the idea of Saul's conversion and how God will use him as a vessel. Paul elevated his walk, and he elevated his talk. And we in class this morning were encouraged from the same perspective, and that is no matter how we're walking, we can walk higher, we can talk better, so far as the gospel of Jesus Christ is concerned. But tonight I want to focus in, if we go to the next slide, please, with the idea of somewhat of a change in the conversation. I normally talk or think from the standpoint when we speak about elevating our walk and elevating our talk. It is with the idea of that which is required, that burden that we put upon ourselves, that weight that we go up under as we strive to elevate our walk and elevate our talk. It's a requirement that you and I feel as we seek to serve the Lord. I want to look from a little bit different perspective tonight as we talk about the beauty of the church. And that is, not only do we have that requirement put upon us, but you and I have that which has been provided to us as well. You and I don't have to hold the whole weight upon our shoulders because we're not in this by ourselves. God goes before us, and you and I have been blessed with many, many things, and I want us to focus a little bit in on those things that you and I have because of our relationship with God. Next slide, please. Three things, three thoughts. I won't be long, and so you better take note, because I'm going to cut it short, and you owe me about 15 minutes. I'm telling you that before I get started, okay? The beauty of the church. I was out on the internet looking for a good definition. I think I found one. When we talk about why the church is so beautiful, why it is so attractive, and that we need to elevate our walk and our talk about the church because of the beauty of the church. It is God purposed. The church that you and I are a part of is part of the purpose of God. And that's why it's beautiful. The definition of purpose has the idea of the reason for which something is done or created, or for which something exists. From a human perspective, a person's sense of resolve or determination. The church is beautiful because it is involved in the purpose of God. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 9. Just some beautiful thought here as our brother Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 9, Paul says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. The church is beautiful. The church is attractive because it is the purpose of God. I don't know how that makes you feel, but it's the idea that you and I are in this family, this congregation, this body, and we have the satisfaction of knowing that God purposed where we are. That's fascinating to me. It's fascinating. Those of us who have served in the military, we know in theory that once you go into service, supposedly VA and all the benefits for warriors should be there to take care of soldiers. And the government, an appreciative government, purpose money, allocate money to take care of those vets coming home. We can appreciate that. But I'm here to tell you something even greater than that, and that is this kingdom of which you and I are a part, this family, this church, this body, God purposed it. And you and I have the privilege of being a part of it. Turn a little bit further. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 11. Paul says in verse number 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Paul says that the church, the purpose of the church, is to be that which displays, if you will, the manifold wisdom of God. That's us. That's why the church is so beautiful. It's because you and I have been provided, if you will, the privilege of making known the idea of what God is all about and what he has purposed in this wonderful family, the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 22 and 23 talks about the foreknowledge of God. You and I are here as part of the family of God, not by accident. God in eternity, purpose in his mind, foreknew what he was going to do in the church. And that's what you and I are part of. Isn't that a beautiful thought? The purpose of God is in the church. That's why it's so beautiful. But there's another thought here. Not only is it beautiful because God purposed it, but next slide, please. It is beautiful And I love this thought. You might have to hold with me for a little bit. It's beautiful because it has generational possibilities. What does that mean? In the first century, in Acts chapter 9, verse number 15, Paul talks about, Brother Luke talks about how Paul was a vessel of God. And we can understand in that generation, there are wonderful possibilities. The possibility of helping the Jewish folk to understand that the fulfillment of Isaiah and the Old Testament prophets have come to fruition. The purposes, those vessels that God will use in the first century, people like Peter, who would preach the first sermon to uncircumcised Gentile, who would actually convert Cornelius. It's beautiful, the vessel of Paul, this orthodox Jewish rabbi is now going to be a vessel for God unto the Gentile people. Wow. How about Ananias? He'll be tapped on the shoulder to come over and be the one that will actually baptize Paul. How about Barnabas? He'll be the one that'll be a friend to Paul. Ananias will help Paul get into the body, and it'll be Barnabas that'll help Paul get in fellowship with the body. They were vessels. God used them. The possibilities are incredible. But also there was Lydia. Here is one that influenced an entire community because of her good works. Possibilities generationally were there in that first century. But you know what you and I have in this generation now? We have possibilities also. God gives us Ephesians chapter 4. It is in that passage we learn that these men that are evangelists, pastors, teachers, are here for us to equip the saints. And it doesn't matter which generation we're in, there are possibilities right now. We talk about reaching out. We talk about sharing our faith. The possibilities are unlimited, just like they were in the first century. So the beauty of it is, the beauty of the church, those possibilities that they had, we have also possibilities. We look and we talk about the internet. We talk about the all kinds of social media. In many cases, those opportunities provide possibilities for us. We can't shut the internet down, so we might as well learn how to function effectively in that arena and raise the idea of possibilities. We're living in a much more diverse community right now. The states are turning from red to purple, and so things are changing. But that brings about possibilities. I might have to change my mindset of people, but that just opens up the door for possibilities. And every generation, based on the beauty of God, have those possibilities. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that you and I have because of the beauty of the church of which you and I are part. Final slide. But there's something else. The beauty of the church can be seen in the greatest potential. I'm an avid follower of politics, and I get in trouble all the time because sometimes I get letters and calls from the Republicans in the audience saying that I'm messing with Trump and not nice to him. And then next week I get letters from the Democrats saying, we know you're a Republican and you need to stop talking like that. And so I've had to go back and listen to my sermons to see, okay, yeah, I came down, but they didn't hear when I came. Okay, anyway, so I'm setting that up right now. Okay, so I'm a independent. I'm a statesman. Okay, so if I talk about your candidate, forgive me in advance because I'm gonna talk about the other one next week. Okay, so. But one of the claims I think the politicians have. Now, right now, we're talking about each other's mother and husbands and spouse and children and all that. But ultimately, we're going to pull this nation together. You're right. You're right. But watch the potential of the body or the church of Christ. Bold claims. It is in the church that salvation is provided. It is in the church that redemption takes place. It is in the church that prayers are answered. It is in the church that eternal life is a present possession, according to our brother in 1 John. In the church. It's in the church that God has the potential to make us all one. The beauty of the church is that we have become one in this body. That doesn't mean all the body parts are going to get along well. Because I tell you, in your physical body, the hand is not necessarily in close contact with your lungs. or your feet are not in close contact with your heart, but they serve for the advancement of your body and for the health of your body. It is in the church, and one of the beautiful things about the church is the potential for us to be one. What a thought. What a concept. I had lunch this past week with a dear friend, one of my mentors in psychology, and he was talking to me, a white doctor from Chicago, and we're both celebrating the Cubs. Nobody has mentioned that yet, but how about them Cubs, okay? but he struggles with the idea of the racialness in Dallas. So we constantly talk about how we can do stuff to kind of work on that. The bottom line, and I give my full effort to it, but I do not believe that that kind of unity can exist outside of the church. Oh, we can put lipstick on the pig. We can even put a mink coat on him. But that pig is going to be a pig or grow up to be a hog. It is only in the body of Christ. It is only in the church, and that's what makes it so beautiful, that we all can submit ourselves to one Lord, to one Master, to one King. That's why the church is so beautiful. That's why the church is so beautiful. Last slide, we'll close. In conclusion, the beauty of the church is beautiful because it is God purposed. God has purposed the church of which you and I are a part. That's why she's so beautiful. That's why she's so beautiful. You might have had 20 girlfriends by the time you got to be 25. But is that one that you purposed to commit yourself to for the rest of your life is the most beautiful out of all of them. This church is beautiful because it is God purposed. There were many nations out there, but God purposed Israel. There are many kingdoms out there, but God purposed the kingdom of which Jesus is king. That's why it's beautiful. Number two, it is beautiful because it has generational possibilities. I love that. You know, when I was in D.C. a couple weeks ago, had the privilege of going by the African American Museum. If you ever get a chance, you need to go. It's phenomenal. After about an hour or two there, you'll feel a rush of emotions, at least I did, because many of us have lived a lot of that history. But one thing that I walked away with, when you're talking about generational possibilities, do you not realize how much out of those horrible times, out of those ungodly, unlawful times, that some of our scholars were born, some of our institutions were formed, a lot of our leaders were christened out of that horrible time. They have a picture at the very bottom of all the migratory ways that slaves came out of Africa, and 3.5 million went to Britain, and 1.3 million went to Denmark, and they have the migration route. And they have pictures of the shackles, and they have pictures of the relics from those sunken slave ships. But it's out of that generation, they provided for where we are right now. Amen. And so for you and I, we are not walking around with physical shackles. So you and I are without excuse for accomplishing the greatness that are within our breast to accomplish those things when we look at that generation, and they accomplish it in spite of us. So the church looks back at the first century, where they could meet in a public place under threat of violence. They couldn't let on that they were who they were in many cases because they would suffer all kinds of discrimination. Their bread down at the store cost everybody else 50 cents. They paid $5 for their bread. But do you not realize it is in those times that the church of my Lord grew, yes, and it covered the entire globe. Everywhere the name of Jesus was spoken of in those tough times. Our generation, let's not give up on possibilities because with God, all things are possible. And the final thought is the potential we have. Brethren, you and I really have the secret message. His name is Jesus. The beauty of the church is that we can be one in church, in the Christ, in the body. That's the way we need to elevate our walk, and that's how we need to elevate our talk. But how about all the stuff that's going on? Well, if you want to talk about bad stuff, well, we might as well pull the plug on our nation, pull the plug on our world, pull the plug on Global One. I mean, there's all kinds of bad stuff out here. But all of us are going to go home tonight and drink a cold glass of water, even though the water is bad up in Flint, Michigan. We will drink our water tonight because of the potential that we have. You have a choice tonight to come into this beautiful body, the church. Why is it beautiful to you? Because all of your sins can be washed away. You have direct communication with our Father. You can say, Father, and He says, yes, my child. And God provides you the hope of heaven. But to get into this body, you have to believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so you come in believing, you repent of your sins, you confess the great name, yes, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then you, trusting that Jesus, go down to the water grave of baptism and allow His precious blood to wash all your sins away. And you come into this beautiful body, the church. If you're here tonight, subject to heaven's invitation, don't let anyone stop you. Come forward now as we sing the song of invitation. If you have any need, just as you are. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sister. God bless you. God bless you, brother. God bless you.
Was shed for me. And there.
God bless you,
sister. I bid his me come to
appreciate your attentiveness tonight, and I hope, even though it was a short message, by my standard, it was an instant. It was real short. I understand. I'm anticipating the calls, but I hope something was said tonight that your appreciation, your love for the church, has grown, has deepened, and that this church can really be the beautiful bride that she is. God's purpose is in her. Possibilities are in her. And also the potential is in her. That's what makes her so beautiful. Let us treasure her. Let's elevate our walk in regard to the church. And let's elevate our talk in regard to the church of my Lord. May God bless us and may God keep us in this life. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blood to thee whose blood can cleanse its heart. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt with fears, without, all in. but I